6th edition of Saturday Spotlight by Barry Melrose, former NHL coach of ESPN, of course, U.S. television personality. Barry, thanks for joining me today. How are you?
My pleasure. Always nice to talk to people from Western Canada. I don't know if you guys know this, but I actually played in Winnipeg a couple of years when the Jets were first back in the NHL the first time. So I always enjoy talking to people from Winnipeg.
We did that. Know that, Barry. I want to get to that because, you know, it's kind of going to be a career, an interview about your career. And I grew up in Winnipeg.
I don't know if we got enough time, do we?
We'll try our best here.
Okay.
And you cut me off whenever you see fit, whenever you need to go. I grew up in a house in Winnipeg, and my dad, a big Jets fan, so he told me all about the Barry Melrose years just as you were getting up and I was growing up and watching the LA Kings. I want to start off with you being from Saskatchewan, Barry, and obviously in light of the sad news of what's going on right now with Gordie Howe, I wanted to ask you about growing up. You were born in 1956 in Saskatchewan. Do you automatically grow up with Gordie Howe as your idol?
I grew up as a Toronto fan, a big Toronto fan, so I love the Leafs. That's when they were winning Stanley Cups. Matter of fact, I saw the last one in 67. So I loved everything about Toronto. And Tim Horton was my favorite player. I was a defenseman. I love defensemen. I love the Toronto defense. Hunt Imlach used to use four defensemen, kill them penalties, things like that. So I was a big Toronto fan. Gordie, obviously, being from Saskatchewan, was always special and such a great player. And when I was growing up, Gordie was still the best player in the world in the face of the NHL. So, of course, all of us got Saskatchewan watched Gordie and loved Gordie. So, it was always one of the highlights of my career when I first played against Gordie and when I first met Gordie.
You know, Barry, I look back at your career. You were actually drafted in the NHL and in the WHA in the same year by the Habs and the NHL in Cincinnati and the WHA. What was that like at that time?
Well, it was completely different. The draft was held, so it wasn't a case of flying all of us guys to Toronto or Montreal in the draft. So I thought I was going to go in about three rounds. That's what my agent said. And actually that day I grew up on the farm, so I was out on the tractor all day. I just couldn't hang around and wait. Went out and did some summer follow, and my grandfather ran out to the field, picked me up, and that's when I got the call from my agent and said I was drafted by the Montreal Canadiens in the second round. So, but right away it was a great news, bad news situation, because obviously you're proud to be drafted by Montreal that high.
Right.
But then you started realizing, hey, wait a minute, they've got four NHL All-Star defensemen in Montreal, and they got four All-Star defensemen in the American League. So all of a sudden you did the math and you realized, wow, there's a lot of defensemen I got leapfrogged to play for Montreal.
So is that really how you get to Cincinnati? Because Montreal is so backlogged with so many All-Stars on their squad?
Yeah, that was it. I remember I still got it, as a matter of fact. I got the contract offer from Montreal signed by Sammy Pollock, and it was a three-way deal, one salary in the NHL, one salary in the American League, and one salary in the International League. So Cincinnati came to me. I think I was a third or fourth round pick in Cincinnati, and they flew me down to Cincinnati, and me and Greg Carroll went down together, and you know, they had a brand new beautiful building. They had Dennis Sobchak signed, a guy that I knew very well because I played in Weyburn and Dennis Sobchak played in Weyburn.
Mm-hmm.
And Jacques Loca was signed. They had a lot of great players. You know, I fell in love with Cincinnati and I signed with Cincinnati in WHA.
Joined by Barry Melrose on the 5th edition of Saturday Spotlight on TSN 1290. Barry, what was your best memory of playing in the WHA? It was a short period of time, but is there one thing that stands out at all for you?
The guys I played with, I got to play with Bobby Hull. I got to play against Gordie Howe. I got to play against Frank Mahovlich. I got to play against so many of the great old players. Davy Keon, I remember the first time I met Davy Keon in a bar in Hartford. That was a thrill. I played against all these guys. You know, every time you stepped on the ice, WHA, there was a great older veteran on the other team. So I got to play against Whitey Stapleton, played with Whitey Stapleton in Cincinnati. I think what I remember about the WHA, and I met my wife in Cincinnati, and we're still married 40 years later. So Cincinnati was a great place to play. We had a great young team. Mike Leute was on the team. Peter Marsh was on the team. Mike Gartner was on the team. Mark Messier was on the team. Robbie Fatorik was on the team. We had a heck of a team.
Wow. Yeah.
The WHA at the end, as you guys in Winnipeg know, mm-hmm. was a heck of a league. And they remember Birmingham signed all those young players. and they all turned out to be good players. So the WHA was a great league at the end.
Barry, after that, you went to Winnipeg, and you played under Tom McVie in the Tom McVie era in Winnipeg, and I can remember my dad talking a lot about that. What's your memories of Winnipeg? You mentioned, obviously, in the outset of the interview. What do you remember most about your short time here?
Cold. how my wife had never felt cold. But I loved playing for Tommy. He was a great guy. He was the guy that... I always said there's like five guys I know that should be put into a room, and they should talk about hockey, and that would be the just the makings of an unbelievable book. And Tommy would certainly be one of them. Just a guy that done everything in hockey, every situation in hockey, every league in hockey, knew every story in hockey. He was in the middle of most of the stories in hockey, knew everybody in hockey.
You know, you talked about Gordie Howe, and obviously being a Leafs fan, you end up playing in Detroit, and the history of the Detroit Red Wings at that time, obviously, growing up, and the Leafs were actually winning then, and a lot of people, of a later generation don't remember the Leafs winning, but the Wings have kind of always been that team that was winning, or at least had the history of success. What was it like playing for the Detroit Red Wings?
Well, I was there just when Mr. Village took over, and Jimmy Devolano took over, and they signed me as a free agent, and we weren't very good at the start. I always say that that team I was on got Detroit Steve Yzerman, so I always feel proud of that. We weren't very good, and Yzerman was the pick that they got the next year, fourth overall, I believe. So then they started getting better, started making the playoffs. Reed Larson was on the team. Danny Gare was on the team. It was a group of older guys. We didn't have any real young stars at that time. That was when, the next couple of years when they started drafting well, got Yzerman and Lane Lambert and then Adam Graves and a little bit later and stuff like that. So, it was just the start of good things happening. Mr. Illich was a great owner. The Joe was empty, before Mr. Illich took over and all of a sudden, Detroit started winning and it became a really good hockey town, and then it became Hockey Town USA, and then everyone knows what happened after that, 20-some straight playoff appearances and arguably the last 20 years the greatest franchise in the NHL.
It really is, and it's really interesting to hear how many people that you've crossed paths with. And I want to move from your playing career to your coaching career. You get your start in the WHL in 87. How did you get to coaching? Some people fall into it. Some people thought when they were playing, oh, I'd always become a coach. Where did you come from on that pendulum?
I always thought I'd become a coach. I was the type of player that nothing came easy. I had to work hard physically, and I had to, work hard mentally. I had to know the other team. I had to know their intricacies. I had to know what the other players did, things like that. So I had to think, and the next progression was to become a coach. I was always interested why certain teams win all the time, why certain teams lose all the time. It can't be just talent level, because there were teams with more talent that didn't win, and it all came back to coaching. So I started watching coaches. I sort of, went over the coaches I had. Bill Dineen was my coach in Adirondack. He helped me a lot. He made me an assistant coach in Adirondack, which helped my progression very, very much. But I always thought I wanted to stay in the game. I loved hockey. I've loved it since I've been 5 years old. I always wanted to stay in the game, and coaching was I could have played a couple more years in the American League, but, it didn't really make sense to continue playing. I knew I wasn't going to, play a ton longer, so it was time to get into the coaching ranks.
Joined by Barry Melrose on the Saturday Spotlight. Barry, you went from the WHL to Adirondack, as you mentioned, of the AHL. How did that move come about?
I was lucky enough to win in junior. I had great teams in Medicine Hat. We won the Memorial Cup. Trevor Linden was on the team. Robbie DeMaio was on that team. I had Mark Fitzpatrick was our goaltender. I had a great team in Medicine Hat. We won the Memorial Cup two years in a row. Then I went to Seattle. I did a good job in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy Devolano, who was my general manager and signed me as a free agent from Toronto to go to Detroit, hired me from Seattle to go and coach the American League team in Adirondack, where I had finished for my playing career. So it was sort of a complete circle where I played in Adirondack. That gave me my chance to be an assistant coach. That gave me my chance to be a head coach in the juniors, and then they hired me back to be the head coach in the American League. So I owe Detroit a lot. Detroit Red Wings have been very, very good to me in my career.
You won the Calder Cup in 1992, and I looked at the roster of the team that you coached, and the likes of Keith Primeau, Sheldon Kennedy, who Jets fans and people from Manitoba will know, of course, Mike Sillinger, Gary Shuchuk, who played with you later with L.A., Jason York, who people see on TV today, and then one name that stood out to me was Bruce Boudreau cracked that roster at the end of the season.
Well, actually, it's funny because Bruce and I played together in Toronto, so we were good friends, and I was coaching in the playoffs, and Detroit made the first round, and they took Primeau and Sillinger, and they took four of the young players up with them to
really?
The NHL team. So I didn't have many players left, so I had to find some players to get by the first round. And Bruce was playing in Fort Wayne, and I called Bruce and I said, "Bruce, I need some help. Can you come in and play? I can't guarantee how long you play, but I need you." And he came in, played the first round. We won the first round. I got all those guys back because Detroit lost out, and I wasn't able to keep Bruce around, but he was a big help to me in the first round, and we won, and we ended up winning the Calder Cup there. I had a great team. The Alan Bester was in net. Matter of fact, that was a series that we played St. John's in the finals, Toronto's farm team. Mark Crawford and Joel Quenneville were the two coaches, and no team won a home game. We won four games in St. John's, and they won three games in Adirondack.
Wow. And these stories are great, Barry. Really enjoying this so far. You're listening to Barry Melrose on the Saturday Spotlight on TSN 1290. The next season, you're coaching the National Hockey League, and you're coaching arguably the greatest player of all time, Wayne Gretzky. Did you ever think, whoa, how did this all happen so quickly?
Well, no, it wasn't a case of coaching arguably the best player. He was the best player.
I agree.
No doubt about it. things did happen fast. But I won.
Right.
I had great teams, and I was able to win, and that gets people's attention. You're seeing it now with all the coaches that are going up from junior or the American League. If you win in the American League, you know, you'll get a chance, and I got a chance. I wasn't looking to coach in L.A. My goal was to coach the Detroit Red Wings. I was going to coach in Adirondack, and my next step would be go to Detroit and be the head coach in Detroit. But Brian Murray was in Detroit, and he wanted to coach some more. And L.A. came, and I talked with L.A., and they liked how my teams played, and they liked the interview process. And L.A. offered me to a great contract to go and be the head coach of the L.A. Kings.
What was it like coaching Gretzky, Barry?
Yeah, it was great. It was Wayne is exactly how you hope he is. He's just as good a guy as appears on TV. You know, everyone says, "Oh, this is too good to be true. He's got to have some flaws." He doesn't. He's a great guy. He loves to play. He loves to practice. He loves being in the dressing room with his buddies. That's his favorite place in the world. And he played hard for me for 3 years. So Gretz was great. He was funny. He was a great guy to coach. I always tell the story. Like, you can imagine the polls on Wayne Gretzky. Everyone wants him to do commercials. Everyone wants him to do all these things. Not once in 3 years did Wayne ever come to me and say, "Barry, can I miss practice? I can do this Ford commercial." He never once came to me and asked me that. He always made it work with his schedule some other way. He was like that. Hockey came first. Hockey was the most important. His teammates were the people he loved. So nothing but great experiences coaching Gretz.
So interesting, Barry. And you won the WHL, you win in the AHL. You come so close in 93, and of course our hockey show being called the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You know, we've talked about that before when we've had you on. But do you think, because you won at both levels and you came so close in 93, do you think about that a lot anymore, or it's in the past and you've moved on?
When I think about it is something happens when it's an anniversary or something, and they always, they show us beating Toronto and stuff like that, or they show a Gretzky moment when he scores 8-0-2. Then the memories come back, and it's the old what if. They're still there. You never forget it. You know, every time I watch that, the games against Montreal, I still think we're going to win those games. The memories are still there. It's always, what if this would have happened, because hindsight, and I tell young guys this all the time, I just thought it was going to be, we were going to go back to next year. We didn't win it this year, but we'll win it next year. And it's so hard to do that. We're seeing it now. Teams just can't repeat. And, you know, that's one thing I tell these young guys, that if you do happen to get on a run like the New York Rangers did last year, you better make sure you win it, because you don't know when you'll go back.
So true. And, you know, after Los Angeles, you start working for ESPN, and really, I mean, for American television viewers, you're kind of like the Don Cherry in terms of how, you know, you're recognizable you are. How did you come across the ESPN job?
Well, actually, that's pretty funny, too, because in 93, when we were going, ESPN was doing the coverage in the States, and CBC was doing the coverage in Canada. Mm-hmm. So we played four Canadian teams. We played Vancouver, Calgary, Toronto, Montreal.
That's right, yeah.
So it almost became CBC was cheering for Canada, and ESPN was cheering for us, and obviously for ratings, because the longer Gretzky stays in, the better for everybody.
Right.
And, you know, obviously when you got, I had a high-profile team with a lot of superstars that, you know, everybody was, you know, coming to us and doing interviews and stuff. So I did a lot of stuff with ESPN. And the first call I got when I got fired, it was funny, I got fired in the morning and I got home and the first call I got was from ESPN. And they said, geez, Barry, we're sorry you got fired, but we want you to come work for us. So I said, yeah, this will be good for 7 or 8 months. And, you know, then I'll get back into coaching. And, you know, 20 years later, I'm still working for ESPN.
That's the craziest part. I was going to ask you, what's your favorite part about doing television?
Just still in the game. I get to talk hockey every night. I get paid to watch games. I get paid to talk about it. I get paid to travel and watch games. I'm the luckiest guy in the world. So when I look back, you know, I was lucky enough to play. That's the greatest thing in the world. I got to coach and coach some great, great guys. And now I've stayed in the game and have made my living in the game since I basically was 16 years old. I've been paid to be in hockey since I've been 16 years old, playing in waiver in Tier 2. So very blessed, and, you know, I don't take it for granted. Every time I go to work, I get excited. I love watching games, and I love talking about our sport.
Well, Barry, I appreciate you taking time today, and it's always interesting to speak to guys who've been around the game for so long, and you had some great stories. So we thank you very much for your time, and I hope you have a great day.
How are the Roughies doing? Are they still in the playoff hunt?
The who?
The Saskatchewan Roughriders.
The Roughs. You can't mention the Roughriders, Barry, to Bomber fans, because the Bombers just lost their 8th game in a row last week. So the Riders are going to be in the playoffs, and the Bombers are going to be at home for, I don't want to say how many years in a row it's been. I just know it's been 8 losses in a row this season.
I always remember Saskatchewan and Winnipeg always played home and home around Labor Day.
Mm-hmm. Still do.
And I always remember that because that was always just before I went to camp. So I used to, probably a lot of times I listened to them on the combine. I always remember listening to Saskatchewan, Winnipeg near Labor Day, and you know, 2 or 3 days later, I was on my way to camp. So, you know, once you're a Rough Rider fan, you're always a Rough Rider fan.
I know a bunch of Saskatchewan boys, excuse me, who would agree with that, and you can tell your wife that it's probably colder now than it ever has been up here in Manitoba.
All right, man. You take care.
Thanks, Brad. Have a good one.